Good evening and welcome to the Revere Radio Network, the worldwide home of free speech. My name is Chris. The show is called Nowhere to Run. You can go to our website, which is conspiracyclothes.com/nowheretorun or nowheretorun.podomatic.com. Okay, let's get started. Sorry, I've had a few weeks off here, just been extremely busy. Started a new job, which takes up Monday through Wednesday pretty much totally, and then I'm usually on the road Thursday through Sunday. So it's not leaving a lot of time in between, but I hope to be able to get used to that and get it all figured out here. Right now I've got about exactly the time it takes to do one of these shows without any mistakes, so I'm hoping that I can not make too many mistakes. You're probably saying, well, you make mistakes all the time and you don't seem to correct them. And that is true. So anyway, I've got some interesting stuff to talk about. First of all, let's talk about, I just yesterday got in a wreck in the band's bus. It was just me driving. It was kind of on some back roads. And there was been some, it was for various issues, some mechanical issues and some my fault. So it was kind of a combination of two things. But I ran off the road, and it was really, really interesting. I was going, I mean, I had enough momentum to do, I was going right towards this, these huge rocks and this tree, and I just remember closing my eyes thinking, wow, I've got enough momentum to hit all that, and I just closed my eyes and just said, save me, Jesus, is the last thing I said. I remember thinking it was weird because I said it was just such confidence, you know, but it was not like confidence in me. It was just weird, like looking back in hindsight, like that I mean, it was almost like a saying it like, you know, it's my only chance. So, you know, that's, I mean, there's nothing I can do at this point, but it was amazing. I'd stopped like inches from this tree and just, I mean, even if I would have hit that and shattered it or whatever, there was like this line of rocks there. So, and then the bus was stuck, and basically we can't have the bus be stuck for various reasons. There's lots of reasons that that bus needs to be in working order. And so I was just sitting there like, oh my gosh, you know, there's really bad feeling about the whole situation. Just looking at it like, okay, they're not going to be able to get that out. I'm definitely going to have to call like a major winching tow truck, you know, that can winch this out. And so then my girlfriend showed up and we were sitting in the car and we had to wait a while for the police officer to come. We're like, oh great, you know, the cops and everything else. So we were actually, we prayed in her car, and one of the things we prayed for that was to make, you know, to soften the cop's heart and to bring the perfect cop for this situation out. And we later were laughing, like, she was sitting in the car and I was talking to the cop, and I looked back at her after I'd been talking to this cop for like 15 minutes about band stuff, because he was in a band, and like, it was just band this and band that. He actually asked me, he's like, well, how do you want me to write this up? I was like, I should write this up this way and this way. And Reg's like, but I'll write it up, you know, how, you just tell me how, and I'll write it up. I'm like, okay. It was like, how about the no wreck, just stuck in a ditch, or there's a, basically there was an option that like nothing happens and everything's all good and whatever, whatever, and whatever. He didn't ask for anything. I mean, there's just a few issues he could have definitely, done something about, but he didn't, because he was so enthralled with the whole band thing and making sure that we knew how to make it. And he gave me some pretty solid pointers to making it in the music industry. And I accepted them with so got a ton to do, so let's get right into it. Just again, one of the reasons why I've had been such a lag in the shows was I just got my computer back. It'd been about a month and I was really excited to get it back, and then there was just one thing after another thing after another thing of trying to get these shows out. And it's probably good that it didn't, because I don't know, just everything, it just for various reasons. But anyway, I'm in a rush, so let me try to. I want to talk about real quick our friend's new podcast. His name is Kevin, or TK, and the podcast is Team Kevin at Podom, or teamkevin.podomatic.com. That's TEAM Kevin. Podomatic.com. He's really a really funny guy, really talented, and I think that it's just going to be a good thing for me. I like listening to the show, so I'm sure it would, some of you out there might like it as well. But But he had contacted me before, and he was just so insightful and funny and stuff, and it was just so happy to see him start something. And so I hope you check it out and add it to your iTunes thing. That's teamkevin.podomatic.com. Okay, a few things. First of all, the Zeitgeist Challenge, I'm really excited about it. I keep seeing more videos on YouTube about it, people saying about how it's a fraud and all this stuff. It's really starting to come out, but it's not. What's interesting is it's just, it's also exploding in the other direction. Like I said, it's like the most watched video on Google Video, and or at least it was. I haven't checked it in a while. They got this thing coming out, I'll put in the show notes, called the Zeitgeist Day, and it is like, let me just try to pull this up here. It is amazing what this is. It's like, it's 467 public events and 970 private events worldwide thus far, and it's March 17th, and it's like this big thing. It's like in all these places all over the world, everybody's already signed up. It's just like this huge event where I guess they're going to be showing Zeitgeist movies and talk about activism and the rest of it. I don't know, but it's just such a over, it just is illustrative of how much this is going to affect the world and unite those that are concerned and want to take action in this conspiracy thing. And this is going to provide this kind of thing and possibly surrounded this movie, I could just see it being bigger, would be the place that to catch all those people that want to make real differences and you know, all this stuff. And it's like, it's just, what's so awful about that is it's the very same ideals that we're trying to fight. It's just, it's like a little catch-all for those of us that are awake enough to do anything about it. It's like, of course they're going to target the people that are awake, because the rest of the people don't matter. I mean, they do matter, but I mean, they are already trapped, you know? In my opinion, the only people that are left now out there are the geniuses. Because, I mean, I mean that in the sense that the only people that are left that are capable of getting this and understanding it all are the geniuses, because, not because of our fault, because we're lucky or whatever, but because there's been such an active dumbing down campaign with, I mean, you know, fluoride in the water and the foods and just the schools and the TV and who knows what else. I mean, the radio waves and everything else. I mean, there's no way to really tell, but I mean, we can tell that there has been dumbing down, vaccines and the mercury and we've all got vaccines. You know, we've all been affected by the dumbing down is what I'm saying. I mean, everything we eat has fluoride in it. And so my point is that there is this group that's left of people that are smart enough to understand and to make a difference. And those people are targeted via the same old way that they were always targeted, via their pride. You guys are special. You guys understand the truth. You guys really know what it's all about. And then it's just after that, it's just simple psychology. And I'm just, again, we've almost got the Zeitgeist Challenge website up and running. I'm so excited about it. We've done a lot of stuff behind the scenes trying to make sure it's going to just really run smoothly and try to work out a lot of the bugs. So that should be up very, very soon. And when it is, I've got a really good idea or two about how to just make sure people know about it, because it's so important that people understand that this is a lie. Because if they can understand that the whole this God was exactly the same as Jesus is a lie and is not backed up by any ancient text or the historical record in any way, then they'll see clearly that all these people, these conspiracy teachers that are giving them all this conspiracy information, are at least lying, or at least have been lied to themselves and have believed it and didn't check their own facts about that. And if we can all understand that, then we're going a long way to understand that we need to be really, really wary of the people giving us the best conspiracy information, because they very well might be have that information for a reason. I'm going to back up a little bit and just say, now, three of these people, Jordan Maxwell, David Icke, and Michael Tesserian, are all very, very closely connected. back to the same organization Jordan Maxwell brought, David Icke to America and all this stuff, and that could have been very well because of just, you know, in the conspiracy realm and, you know, whatever. And then this close connection to Sarian, you can look back into this deist connection of Jordan Maxwell and how, you know, they just think that, go to, what's the name of, there, the company that Jordan Maxwell started as like an editor of religion or something is like this deist organization, which I believe he still sits on the board. Deists basically, you know, are really into the whole idea of world government is going to be just so super awesome. And we've got this you know, just real weird connections between these people. I'm not going to get into that. I got a lot of stuff to go into. Please check it out. But anyway, also, the Zeitgeist Day, I'll put a link to it in the show notes. Look how huge this is, and I think it would be interesting for somebody to follow the money on this. I know that there's probably a lot of donors and, you know, that kind of thing, people actually putting their money because they believe the lie and everything else. So, but I bet just something like this, this size, has to have real support behind it. I mean, the movie itself was real slick, and, I mean, that could have been anything, but I've really shied away from saying the people that made Zeitgeist were, you know, part of it, but definitely some of the stuff around it seems to be, but I'll let it go right now. Okay, I want to talk also about something that's pretty well-known, conspiracy stuff, I guess. I didn't know about it, so I just figured maybe a lot of you didn't either, and that is vitamin B17, or Laetril, or amygdalin. It's all three names for the same thing. Basically, it's a B vitamin, and it's been touted as curing cancer, of all things, and preventing cancer. And it's just really, really, really interesting to read about it because it's got all these things. I mean, it's been basically banned by the FDA because it's got cyanide in it, like the same thing, like, you know, I've heard apple seeds have cyanide in it. That's because it has Laetril in it. But the reason it works is what's so interesting to me. Let me try to... Okay, I'm going to read this article, and I'm going to post all this in the show notes section of the website. So I'll just start here. It's a long article, so I'll just read a little bit of it. Have you ever heard of vitamin B17? Maybe you've heard of its other name, Laetril. Americans cannot access vitamin B17 because the FDA took it off the market in the 1970s and removed it from the B-complex vitamins. It is unlawful for any health practitioner to administer this vitamin to patients. Apricot seeds are the best source for B17, but they have also been removed from the shelves of every health food store and natural market throughout the USA. Limited research has been conducted on vitamin B17 since 1977. Once it was banned, it was forgotten. According to the research from years ago provided by nutritionists and medical scientists, vitamin B17 is a natural cyanide-containing compound that gives up its cyanide content only in the presence of a particular enzyme group called beta-glucosidase or glucuronidase. I'm going to link this in the show notes so you can make up your own translation, pronunciations. Miraculously, this enzyme group is found almost exclusively in cancer cells. If found elsewhere in the body, it is accompanied by greater quantities of another enzyme, rhodanase, which has the ability to disable the cyanide and convert it into a completely harmless substance. Cancer tissues do not have this protective enzyme. So, according to past scientific knowledge, cancer cells are faced with a double threat, the presence of one enzyme exposing them to the cyanide, while the absence of another enzyme found in all other normal cells results in the cancer's failure to detoxify itself. Leave it to nature to provide a form of cyanide that can naturally destroy a cancer cell. The cancer cells that are unable to withstand the cyanide are destroyed, while the non-cancerous cells are not threatened by the cyanide and therefore remain unharmed. Never underestimate the body's potential. Vitamin B17 is found naturally in many foods. If you eat foods containing vitamin B17, your body will know what to do next. All other animals in nature instinctively do this, blah, 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 blah. And it goes through a lot of the details and stuff, and I encourage you to look into all this. There's more to this. Let me read some of the foods that it's in. Watercress, spinach, bamboo sprouts, alfalfa sprouts, lentil sprouts, whole nuts, mung bean sprouts, ground nuts, garbanzo sprouts, apple seeds, and apricot seeds. I've also heard it's in peach pit seeds. Like if you crack open a peach pit, What you will find in there, I believe it has a concentration of laetril as well, or so I've heard. And I found another website that I'll also link in the show notes that goes through a lot of the things that you would want to do if you're going to do this. If you actually had cancer and you're going to go this route, you would want to do other things like try to do a raw food diet in combination with it to maximize its potential. There's other considerations that you want to make sure that you do, things that you want to make sure that you're not taking or whatever, and I'll link that to in the show notes. And I'm not recommending this. I don't know if it works. I don't know anybody that has ever said it worked or whatever, but just the stuff around it. I've actually heard about this on George Gordon's website, and he did a series on laetril, and you can find that probably on his website, which is georgegordon.org, and he talks extensively about a lot of the individual cases and what it does specifically. I was convinced by that, but you know, I'm convinced easily. So, but I would encourage you to look it up, and especially as a cancer preventative and maintenance type thing, and certainly it makes a whole lot of sense of, okay, like these doctors are getting, like, you know, if they're prescribing this and it's working, it's, you know, it's in spinach, you know, it's in alfalfa sprouts, and it's not exactly a prescription, but and it's curing cancer, and then they send the SWAT team in and, you know, rip up the place and put the guy in jail. I mean, that's just crazy. I mean, cancer is like the number one industry besides probably oil. I mean, it's there's a lot of, it would bankrupt us, as they say, if we lost cancer. You just can't cure cancer. That's crazy. But if you do have cancer, there is hope. And go look this up, and you will find, first of all, if you type in B17, the National Cancer Research Center or whatever comes up and says, oh, you don't want that, that's not for you. But it's funny that they say it has shown minimal cancer preventative. It's like saying, well, it works a little bit, but, you know, it was just like this real legalese talk there. But of course they're going to deny it if it does work. I mean, but anyway, I'll let you decide. It's just putting it out there, reporting it for your consideration. Let me move on here. Okay, I also wanted to talk about these weird connections between, we've talked about it before. I've linked in the show notes before. I'll link this again. These odd connections to these different people connected to the military, to the government, to the alphabet agencies, and also connected to different things like drug research, mind control, Nazism, always connected to psychic stuff, always connected to electromagnetic research or extremely low frequency research, and connected with weird applications of radio frequencies, connected with UFO stuff. I mean, none of these things seem to make sense to all be connected, except they are. They're all weirdly, weirdly connected. Let me go through that list again. So I'm linking you, if you go to the show notes of either conspiracyclosed.com/nowheretorun or nowheretorun.podomatic.com, you will find this link. It's under, quote, weird mind control connections, and I've linked them before. But basically, it's just a bunch of people. It's a bunch of people with biographies, and just go through, start reading those biographies, and you'll just notice the weirdest things, that all these people are connected for the weirdest things. And it's all just weird. It's this New Age stuff, like concepts of New Age stuff, psychic stuff, along with military-grade mind control, drugging, electromagnetic, UFO abductions, UFO misinformation, disinformation, weird stuff, man. And it's, all I can say is you got to read through these for yourself to get a feeling of what I'm talking about, and the level of connection there is just so intriguing. One of those guys, I meant to actually spend a whole show on this guy, and I might have a little bit of time to do it, so I'll look into it here. His name is Andrija Puharik, and he is one of these guys on this list, and he's just a very, very, very interesting guy, and I wanted to read a little bit from this fellow's website here. It's called Puharik ELF and Tooth Implants, and this kind of dovetails a little bit with what Frank was talking about in one of his last podcasts, trying to say that, yes, they have this voice-to-skull technology and whatnot, this radio frequency stuff, and I'm really concerned about it, and I'll go into it here in just a second. I've been following the trail of a strange character named Andrija Puharik for some time now. He's one of those people who comes up again and again in various sources, seeming to be some kind of behind-the-scenes player, always working through other people. He was responsible for discovering and popularizing celebrity psychic and spoonbender Uri Geller. He was also allegedly behind the Council of Nine, a group of people formed around the channeled teachings of what claimed to be ancient Egyptian gods' return. What makes these things all the more interesting, though, is that he was involved in the research using ELF, extremely low frequency waves, to affect the human brain and behavior patterns. He is also supposed to have created a type of hearing aid, which was implanted in the tooth and transmitted through the nerves in the face, finding an alternate path to the brain, and even allowing deaf people to hear. Starting to sound suspicious yet? The following comes from an article on Uri Geller's website and seems to be written by one of Puharik's ex-wives, in the event of his death. Quick aside, Puharik convinced Geller that a spaceship orbiting Earth was the source of his powers, very similar to the Nation of Islam's mother wheel, if you ask me. It says, he and a friend worked on the hearing aid that would give sound a new route to the brain through the teeth and facial nerves, a device for which a patient was granted would eventually consist of a miniature microphone and transmitter to be worn on the wrist or carried in the pocket, and a miniature receiver to be installed in a hollow false tooth through contact with nerve ends in a live tooth next to a false one. Electric signals would be transmitted via the dental and facial nerves to the brain. How proud I had been when Andrija told me jubilantly that he had made a deaf person hear. All they had to do from there was to bring the complex equipment down to a portable size. He had stumbled through the possibility of a nerve conduction as a means of helping the deaf by accident when he and his friend Joe Lawrence were both captains of the Army Chemical Center in Edgewood, Maryland. Andrija in the medical corps and Joe in the dental corps. Andrija treated a boy who suffered from hearing voices in his head when he learned that the boy was a cutter and that he worked with conundrum stones. He had Joe replace the fillings in his teeth. Okay, does that sound interesting? Anybody knows anything about any of this? He was working with boys who were hearing voices and that were cutters. His assumption is that, but it might not sound interesting with what I've given you so far, but if you look into this guy, it definitely does. His assumptions that if carbundrum dust came in contact with amalgam fillings, the tooth would operate as a radio receiver had been correct. The voices in the boys had stopped. Too bad Andrija had not pursued the research. It may have given him the recognition he later on in life felt was withheld from him. The guy continues, yes, it's too bad he stopped working on this. I'm absolutely sure that somebody's invented such a thing. The last thing they would do is stop working on it. Talk about ridiculous. Incidentally, the person who wrote this looks to have put it together, a book-length biography of Puharik, also available at Geller's site. Among other items in interest, it has a chapter entitled New York, Hearing Aid, UFOs, and one of Uri Geller and the Council of Nine. Rest assured, I will definitely be coming back to this. Here's another description of Puharik's tooth radio from another source. Puharik is supposed to have said in 1987 at the Electromagnetics Conference, we were able to develop a hearing device that fit under the cap of the tooth. We could hear very clearly from the small little relay and receiver and transmitter, and unfortunately, it was promptly classified by an agency of our government, but we did solve the problem in terms of hardware. So, let me get this straight. Puharik was involved with people who were channeling the voices of gods. Did the gods happen to have offices somewhere near Washington, D.C. and use radio transmitters? Incidentally, could this be the source of Robert Lansbury's silent radio? Aldous Huxley and he were also supposedly to be friends, and Huxley is supposed to have called Puharik one of the most brilliant minds in parapsychology. But is it possible that perhaps Puharik, perhaps a very clever electronics manipulator? A GeoCities site offers some pieces of a talk Puharik makes in 82 or 83. He's talking about how during his ELF research, he discovered that the 8 hertz frequency had some crazy powers, allowing us to somehow tune into the sun or even to stop nuclear missiles in the sky. He offers the following instructions to induce your brains oscillating at this frequency. Imagine that you are looking at a circle of light in your mind. The circle leads to a tunnel of light. Imagine you are traveling to the sun and entering it. It is not as hot, and there are beings there. When you have entered in the sun, you've locked onto a great power. Using this energy in a group, you can do this alone with mutual reinforcement, aligned. One could dematerialize nuclear bombs. Things can be made to disappear. This is the way to peace. There must be absolute centeredness to oscillate our brains in tune with the sun at 8 hertz. These waves can be used for healing, to calm animals, to help the world, other governments to know. Okay, well, let me go on to show tell you that 8 hertz, this whole thing that he was doing, was showing that he was working with a lot of psychics and this frequency and all this stuff. But let me just stop here. I'm running out of time, and I just want to talk about it for a minute, because I haven't even scratched the surface of the crazy stuff this guy did and the stuff he did and how it relates to what I'm talking about. Let me just say this. The ELF grid is the cell phone grid, and it's this electromagnetic weirdness. And if you have spent any time outside of your house lately, you have noticed everywhere in the world there is a big, fat tower within, you know, 200 yards of each other. We're completely locked into this grid of these cell phone towers. I don't know what to think about it, except for this weird connection between kind of occult psychic power, which we'll find out more about in our interview with Russ Dizdar coming up. There's this weird spiritual, I'm going to go ahead and say, connection between this other world, this other dimension, these, I don't know if it's both good and bad beings operate in that dimension or just the bad ones, but certainly this whole psychic realm and the channeled beings and everything else have some connection to a certain frequency, and that they can be, I want to say, doors can be opened up at certain modulations of this frequency. And there's like an occult connection to ELF. That's just what I'm going to say. And this guy obviously shows that all throughout his work and his life. I mean, it's a connection between occult and ELF. But I want to say that there's something that they're trying to do, and it's going to be huge. And I have no clue what they're doing with the chemtrails, none whatsoever. I've heard of barium and this, trying to get our immune system down and all this stuff. And it may be true. I know there's a cool website called Barium Blues or something like that that has a lot of good information about it. But that website, Barium Blues, is interesting because it shows that, if you've probably seen this, maybe if you've been a cloud watcher for any length of time, every once in a while the clouds will just do this weird wave pattern that doesn't look natural at all. It looks like it's like uniform waves that there's a lot of pictures of it on that site. But I've noticed it the other day. I was like, what in the world? There's no way that's natural. But it leads me to think that chemtrails are being used as some kind of agent to interact with this weird wave thing that they're either doing with HARP, H-A-A-R-P, I think is how you say it, or maybe it's two R's, but, you know, if you've been a conspiracy nut for any length of time, you know about HARP. But, you know, they could also probably do it with this grid that they've laid down. I don't know, but I think, but there's also probably a connection to this population control or whatever. I don't know. I was in Charlotte, North Carolina, last weekend, and the people there, or the people that I hung out with, I don't know, they were sick. One guy at his job, people were throwing up blood. He was like, yeah, I got a milder form of it. I'm not throwing up blood, but, you know, I got a cough and whatever, and it's all, and they said it had been on the news, or at least this guy. I don't know how trustworthy the guy was, but, you know, he was just one of our bandmates' cousins, and maybe he wasn't very trustworthy at all. I don't know. But he did say that they were telling them that and this guy is not a conspiracy theorist at all, let me just say that, but he said that they were telling them that it was because of the recent drought, and it was because of environmental changes that's why they were experiencing this blood coughs and regular coughs. I was like, and the interesting part is that city was covered in chemtrails. I mean, the whole next day trying to drive, we were driving to the East Coast, and I mean, it took forever to get out of that haze. And then, incidentally, we got to Virginia Beach, and the city was completely covered in smoke. And I was just like, oh, man, what is going on? We got people throwing up blood in Charlotte. Now everything's covered in smoke, and it's just awful. The city just smelled horrible. And the first person I could ask was like, what is going on? And they said it was because of some massive forest fires in North Carolina, and it had been around for a few days. And I was like, well, okay, I'll take forest fires over But my point is, it's getting to the point where, like, I mean, maybe they're going to start activating some of this stuff. I don't know what's going on. I don't know anything about anything. I'm not an authority on any of this stuff. My whole point on even talking about this, obviously I don't have enough time. I'm running through this very, very quickly. I've got to leave in here just a second. But I want you to go look at some of this yourself. Go start researching what the weirdness is about this connection. Why is it? What are they doing? And I hope that we're going to dig into a little bit of this in the next show with Russ Dizdar, which should be out early this week. So we got two shows in one coming at you. Let me make sure I had... Okay, one more thing before we go. This is a really interesting thing I want to share with you. I was reading last night, and I was really excited about it. I've noticed it before, but I just wanted to just talk about it for real quick. It's Matthew 28, and it's a conspiracy theory that you all agree on, but I just want to point a few things out about it. It's, I'll start reading from verse 5. And the angel answered them and said unto the women, Fear not, ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. As he said, Come and see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There ye shall see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, All hail. I love that. I mean, it's just like, he meets them, and this is after he's done. He's like, what has he got to say to them? He's like, All hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then said Jesus unto them, Be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there they shall see me. Now when they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city and showed unto the chief priests all the things that were done. And when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers, saying, Say ye, his disciples came by night and stole him away while he slept. And if this come to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and secure you. So they took the money and did as they were taught. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. And I just want to show you, that was kind of how a lot of us feel about some other things, you know? I mean, here are the disciples, he really did, all this stuff happened. The Roman soldiers were, you know, they couldn't move, and the stone was rolled away, and this miraculous stuff happened, and they actually... The soldiers went and told that story, and they apparently believed these soldiers, and they were like, hey, you know what? We believe you, but let's give you this money here, and we're going to tell you something to say. You say that his disciples came and stole the body. And so you can see here what was kind of probably spread around Jerusalem. I mean, it was like, if you mention 9/11 right now, somebody would say, oh yeah, Bush blew up the towers, right? You're one of those that believe that. Well, I think a little, you know, tell you some kind of thing about, you know, what Scientific American said or whatever. But then, you could just hear the people saying, when you say, no, he rose from the dead. I mean, the soldier, you know, people were like telling other people that conspiracy theory. It's like, no, these soldiers like totally, fell asleep and the stone was rolled away, and you're like, yeah, right. I think I've heard his crazy disciples went and stole him out of the tomb and did all this stuff, and they were circulating that, so it was like just totally ridiculed because of this, and it's definition of conspiracy theory. These people, you know, gave this money. They conspired to and they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel and gave large money unto the soldiers. So the elders, plural, would be more than one. So these elders had said to him, Say ye, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. And if this come to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and secure you. What did they just say there? They said they were going to rig the judges. Okay? It's like, don't worry. If they come and they try to question you, we'll talk to the judges for you. We'll make it all good. So it's just like it is today. I mean, it's just like things like the 9/11 commission was that verse right there. It's like, and if this come to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and secure you. Which means if they want to do an investigation, we'll make sure it goes your way. You won't be prosecuted. Everything's going to go just fine. And so to this day, we've been talking about that. And, you know, I just think that's really telling. And it's like a conspiracy theory. It's just I mean, it's telling you there was a conspiracy about that. I don't know. You know, I guess it's near and dear to my heart, being as a conspiracy theorist Christian that I am. But I just thought it was interesting. So I guess that's pretty much the show. I've got to leave here. So I thank you and hope you stay tuned early this next week for the Russ Dizdar episode. I hope it's going to be great. If you have any questions you want me to ask Russ, please email me. My email is Chris, C-H-R-I-S, at conspiracyclose.com. That's Chris at conspiracyclose.com. Thanks. Remember, we're in the last days, so we should start acting like it. Power to the people, and all glory be to God. Later.